Yo. You guys awake? Did you guys notice my OCD? This door was open. This door was not. I saw an unbalanced stage, and my mind was freaking out. It was hindering my worship. Not really. How are we doing this morning? They let me out of the cage one more time so I could come speak. I, unlike Caleb, did not have dinner at the Ingles, and that's why I'm here this morning. And I won't be moving to Seattle. So if you are looking at moving away from Laramie, just have dinner with the Ingles, and they will help you make that decision. So are we really doing good this morning? Can I get some lights on here? I don't like teaching in the dark. I like black. I like to wear black. I don't like to be in it, though, necessarily. Is that cool? So this morning is a great day. Does anybody know why? Well, no. Starts with a doctor and ends in a who? There's a special announcement being made. Heath, Mandy, nerds of the audience. Who's it going to be? I'm voting for Hugh Jackman. Or Lionel Richie. Any of those? No? So you guys excited? I'm going to try to make this quick. So you guys, it's at noon, right? If I see you guys looking down at your phones, so help me. So help me. I it's a great announcement for sure. So I get to teach today about Ezekiel. Does anyone know anything about Ezekiel so far? Dry bones. Sweet. Ezekiel, his name is only mentioned in the book of... Boom. He is one of the funniest prophets, I think, so far. God has had him doing all these crazy theatrical-type things. Really weird theatrical-type things. And like chapter 5 of Ezekiel, this dude, God is sending these messages to Israel and to Jerusalem saying, you are going to get your butt kicked, okay? Because you guys have forgotten who I am. So I'm going to come down and I'm going to just make it really miserable so hopefully you will turn around and be like, I have no other way out than God. So he sends Ezekiel. Ezekiel is actually a prophet that was prophesying during the time of exile. You guys remember what exile is, as Matt talked about last week? Crap. One thumbs up. We are doing a really good job. We'll replay that message for you. Paul hit it from last week. Please just look it up online. So last week, Matt talked about Daniel. This week, I got to talk about Ezekiel. So Ezekiel is a prophet in this time of exile. How would you like to be a prophet delivering bad news when things are already bad? Pretty sweet, huh? So God has Ezekiel doing these awesome things. God, like one of the first things he has him doing, he says, I need you to draw on a clay tablet the city of Jerusalem. And then I need you to like sit down and build siege works around it. Basically, he's playing Legos in front of all these people on the street. And he's building all this stuff, and then God says, I need you to set this iron pan in between you and the city of Jerusalem, and I need you to look away, symbolizing that I've looked away from them and my favor is no longer with them. Would anybody get that if they saw that being played out on the street? Nobody? Following that, he says, I need you to lay on your left side on the ground for every day, a day for every year of Israel's sin. Can anybody guess how much sin that is? That's 390 years worth. Okay? So he wants him to lay on his left side for 390 days for Israel's sin. And then he says, then after you're done with that 390 days, I need you to flip and lay on your right side for the sins of Judah. And so he says during this time, and he even like plans out his meals and his diet for him. God's pretty awesome like that. It was filled with like hamburgers and things like that. Not really, but he has all this stuff and all these measurements of food that he's supposed to eat, and he's supposed to eat it at certain times of the day. And God's like rattling off this list of things, and he said, and then I need you to cook it over human feces in the street while you're laying there to symbolize that they're not going to have any good food or any good water to eat or drink. And this is where Ezekiel's like, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm not cooking this over my crap. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. And God says, because Ezekiel said, I have upheld your laws from day one. I've never been ceremonially unclean. You guys remember as we talked about that Jewish, those rules and those regulations that God put forth about being unclean? Okay, you guys need to remember, I love feedback as I teach, okay? Not like Matt, who doesn't love feedback. Just kidding. Matt loves feedback. We all love feedback. Talk to me. So God has him doing all these crazy things like that, theatrical things. And then he has all these things where he's just like, you need to go to this person and you need to tell him how much they've screwed everything up. And this is during a time of exile. And so I'm thinking Ezekiel's probably the coolest dude ever, right? Well-favored among the people. No, people probably hate this guy. So what's so bad about this? You guys, Israel has forgotten God. Let me read. In Ezekiel 22, he talks about Jerusalem's sin. This is God. The word of the Lord came to me, Son of man, will you judge her? Will you judge this city of bloodshed? Then confront her with all her detestable practices and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. God's speaking here. O city that brings herself doom by shedding blood in her midst and defiles herself by making idols, you have become guilty. Because of the blood you have shed and have become defiled by the idols you have made. You've brought your days to a close, and the end of your years has come. Therefore, I will make you an object of scorn to the nations and a laughingstock to all the countries. Those who are near and those who are far away will mock you, O infamous city, full of turmoil. See how each of the princes of Israel who are in you uses his power to shed blood. In you they have treated father and mother with contempt. In you they have oppressed the alien and mistreated the fatherless and the widow. You have despised my holy things and desecrated my Sabbaths. In you are slanderous men bent on shedding blood. In you are those who eat at the mountain shrines and commit lewd acts. In you are those who dishonor their father's bed. In you are those who violate young women during their period when they are ceremonially unclean. In you, one man commits a detestable offense with his neighbor's wife. Another shamefully defiles his daughter-in-law. Another violates his sister, his own father's daughter. In you, men accept bribes to shed blood. You take usury and excessive interest and make unjust gain from your neighbors by extortion. And you have forgotten me, declares the sovereign Lord. Sounds pretty good, right? They're awesome people, right? God's angry for no reason, right? What? Crazy. It's crazy. God is angry. These people have been saved from slavery through what God has done for them. God has come and said, you are my chosen people. I will not forget you. And these people have just turned their backs and forgotten everything that he has done for them over the years. 390 years of forgetting, 390 years of sin, and God said, I've had enough. I'm done with it. I've had enough. And so when you read the book of Ezekiel, you see it broken up in three different sections. You see him prophesying to Israel, bringing condemnation and catastrophe, two awesome C words. Then you see him prophesying to the other nations around because Nebuchadnezzar at that time was super powerful and taking over everybody. And you see him start talking to all these other nations. And then at the very end of Ezekiel, you see all these prophecies concerning Israel again, only it's bringing comfort. Because when he's talking about the different, let me back up. The first prophecies that he's got is during the pre-siege of Jerusalem. And then when he's talking to the nations, it's during the siege of Jerusalem. And at the very end of Ezekiel, he's bringing comfort. And he's bringing new hope. He's bringing a restoration. And so we see all these things, and I read through this book, man, and there is some crazy stuff in here. When he's talking about polluting their water supply and their food supply and that they're not going to have anything good to eat, it talks about fathers eating their children and children eating their fathers just to survive. So this book is just filled with crazy, terrible things. And so I read these books, and I'm trying to figure out, how do I bring this down to our level? Because God looks pretty harsh, doesn't he? Yeah? Has anybody read the book of Ezekiel at all? How was it? The first half is really good. All the death and destruction and I will destroy you is really good. Fair enough. You read it? What'd you think? Strange? God is often strange. Thank you. He is. And so I read this book through the first time, and I'm like, man, why did they stick me with teaching this? I don't want to teach this. I read it through a second time, and I'm like, God, why am I teaching this? I read it through a third time. God, why do you got me teaching this? And at about 11:30 or about 11 o'clock last night, God broke me and said, this is why you got to teach this. So God is all but forgotten by his people, right? When I was 14 years old, you guys want to hear a personal story? My wife's in the room, and I don't know if I can tell this story. When I was 14 years old, my buddy Tony, I lovingly refer to him as Talibani Tony. I say that because we went on a cruise together with him and his wife and my wife and another couple, and at every checkpoint at the airport, he was stopped and searched. And every time getting onto the ship, he was stopped and searched. It wasn't by accident. It was during the height of 9/11 and all that stuff. So he's actually adopted by some white parents, but we don't know if he's black, Hispanic. In the summer times, he turns black. He really does. But in the summer, in the winter, he's like Hispanic. I don't know. Talibani Tony, I said all that to say. Rabbit trail. Doctor Who, we got to go. We got to hurry. So me and my buddy Tony, is a couple years older than I. I am 14. He is 16. He gets a car, and we have freedom, okay? You guys remember what that's like? We have freedom. Well, not only do we have freedom, Tony picks me up at like 9 in the morning. We're out just cruising around, went to get donuts or something, and we find a couple of hotties. Hotties with bodies, all right? My 14-year-old mind, short circuits. We spend all day with these hotties. We go over to their house. We watch movies, eat dinner, all of these awesome things. And so I get back home at like 11:30 or midnight, and I get home to my parents sitting in the living room. Mom has been physically shaken. You can see it in her face. She's been crying. Dad just looks pissed as all get out. And I'm like, what's wrong with you guys? In my home, my curfew was probably 10 o'clock, or I had to call. In my home, you did not skip 5:30 dinner unless you called. In my home, we ate around the dinner table for lunch and dinner. In my home, we did all of these things. So I get home after my 14-year-old mind short-circuiting because of these hotties. I had forgotten everything I was raised with in that one day. In one day. I had just spaced off everything because I had better I had better things and prettier things other than my parents at the time. And so God starts showing me this last night, and I'm thinking, wow, that's an interesting story. It's not really Israelites, and you're not bringing death and destruction upon me for that, nor did my parents, even though they probably wanted to. I remember my parents, I walked in, and after my awesome, oblivious question of, what's wrong with you? They started recounting all these things that I had forgotten. They started telling me, this is where you have forgotten what, you're 14 years old, you have known these things since birth. How have you forgotten them in one day? Not only how have you forgotten them, but here's what we've done. We've called police. We've called state patrolmen because your buddy Tony's only 16. He just got his car. You might be in a ditch dead. We don't know. We're concerned. We are so worried for you. You have freaked us out because you have forgotten everything that you've ever known. And so I tie that into this story because Israelites have seen God. They know God. They have been instilled with this since birth. They have seen God firsthand through pillars of cloud, through pillars of fire, through the desert wanderings, through the the parting of the Red Sea, all of these crazy things. They were fed with manna, miraculously just appearing. All of these things are in their history, are in their past. These are the stories that they've been brought up with. And over time, they start forgetting everything one by one. Over time, the temple that they built for God's glory, for him to dwell in, where only the priests would go see him, they started defiling that temple. They started having prostitutes there. The priests that were there started erecting their own idols to worship. I think at one point in the prophecy in Ezekiel, he goes to the temple and he sees, I think it says something like 25 priests are all worshiping different things. They are sacrificing their children, their firstborn, to appease another god other than God, because that's just what you do. Throughout this book, you see them crying out, God, we don't want to worship you. We want to worship rock and stone. That's what I want. I want to worship a rock. Pretty cool, huh? They've forgotten everything. And God said, you know what? You are my people. I've not forgotten you. In fact, in all of God's harshness throughout this book, you see him just constantly pleading. In Ezekiel 18, verse 30, he says, therefore, O house of Israel, I will judge you, each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent. Turn away from all your offenses. Then sin will not be your downfall. Rid yourselves of all the offenses you have committed and get a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. Repent and live. Throughout all of these messages, these people chose not to repent. These people chose the way of death, the way of pain. So what happens is Jerusalem falls while these people are in exile. Their big city falls, and they're shaken up. And God's sitting there saying, these are all the things I told you, and this didn't have to happen if you guys would just remember me, if you guys would just come and remember who I am. And God doesn't leave him alone. God doesn't destroy him and say, finally, I'm done with you. God doesn't make things miserable for him and say, that's it, there's no more. End of the story. I'll cut my losses with you and start over with some other nation. God's love is so great for these people. God's love then comes to them, and he starts prophesying in a different way. He says, my nation, Israel, will be restored. You guys will be restored because I have to do all these things to bring you low so that you understand that I am God and I'm the only way out of this. So he brings them low, and sure enough, everything that he said would happen happened. And these people repent and these people turn. And God says, in the Valley of the Dry Bones, man, that's probably one of the most famous passages of Ezekiel. Anybody read it? Yeah? God says, in Ezekiel, he sees all these visions of this valley of dry bones. And there's all these bones laying around, and God said, hey, Ezekiel, tell me, do you think these things can live again? Do you think these bones will live again? And he said, well, God, only you know the answer to that question. And so he says, prophesy to these bones. And so he starts prophesying to these bones. And all of a sudden, these bones start coming together, ligaments, muscles, all these things start coming together. And then all of a sudden, they are whole people again. He prophesies to the breath within them, and they breathe, and they live, and they are restored. And so he ends this scene by saying, the Lord says, O my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. when I open your graves, when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you and you will live. I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. All throughout Ezekiel, you just see the words, you will know that I've done these things. And he often says sometimes in this book, not for you, but for my glory. So many times I forget God. Do you guys forget God? Talk about it. Where in your lives do you guys forget God? Shout it out. Stress. Man. Finances. What? Lust. Yeah. Trying to plan the future out of your own resources. Schooling? Whether you have enough liquor in your cabinet, whether your weed stash is plentiful, what's that? Forget to call. For school, man, yeah. Kanan had the privilege of watching me in a car situation this week. I get pissed. Not road rage pissed, but I get pissed at people that can't drive like me. So I'm riding in the car, and I believe words like, what the hell was that, are coming out. And just astonishment that people drove this way, 1 mile under the speed limit. So I'm livid, and Kanan's just watching this. And my wife, she's used to it. She stops saying things because it's a lost cause. It's done. It's, you know, there's no point. So Kanan's watching this, and Kanan's loving it. So then Kanan starts trying to be Jesus. And he said, dude, what is wrong with you? What is your problem? What's that within you that makes you respond this way? You wouldn't respond this way if these people were standing face to face with you, he said. I just got out of the car and got on all fours and just let him continue to kick it. I think I joked about it. And Kanan knows that's my defense mechanism too. So, ooh, turn everything into a joke. I really got to stop riding around with pastors in the car because it's not beneficial to me in my anger. In my anger, I forget about God. In my lust, I forget about God. In my finances, I forget about God. In my schooling, I used to forget about God. And I was in Bible college, for crying out loud. This just was a textbook. In my marriage, I forget about God. There's all these areas that we are able to forget about God, isn't there? And this is where I find comfort in this. This is where I find, if you ever have any doubt, read Ezekiel. God does not forget about you. Is that an amen moment? God does not forget about you. Even in your anger, even in your most unchristlike state, God desires so much to have you, to have me, be filled with that new spirit and that new heart that he talks about. Be filled with the glory of God, that others can see that others can then be filled with that glory of God. So then it's just reflecting the glory back to the King. We are his creation, amen? He is our creator, amen? The two things that he told us to do were love him and love others, right? And the Israelites went far beyond that of not loving him and not loving others. And he brings them low. And does anybody else like hard lessons in their life? Maybe the question isn't do you like them? Do you have to be brought low in a really hard fashion by God? Man, that's me. I am one of the most stubborn, bullheaded dudes you'll ever meet. And it always ends up in a toe-to-toe round with God. And so I relate to these Israelites. Yeah, well, we hear what you're saying, God, but you got to prove it, or I am not going to listen. Okay, check this out. And then he pulls the rug out from underneath me, and I fall every single time. But when I fall, he's there to help me back up. Amen? Yeah. So this vengeful God that I thought I was going to have to teach about, this very super wrathful God, and don't get me wrong, he is those things. It's not because he is a jerk. It's not because he's up there toying with us. It's not because he's just enjoying this. He even said, I do not enjoy this. I don't want anybody to die. If you guys would just repent and remember me, that's all I ask. And so this morning, practical application. Where are these areas in our lives where we're not remembering God? You guys have already mentioned some of them. Can we have a moment of prayer and repentance this morning? Is that something we can do in a church setting? Or do we have to go to our homes and our prayer closets to do those things? So let's do that. Let's take this moment. As I sat in my office this morning, I prayed. I prayed like I haven't prayed in a long time. And God was bringing stuff up within me that just when you think you're good, he says, no, you're not, man. Here's where you're failing. Here's where you're falling. And so know that I love you enough to not leave you there. Know that I love you enough that I want my glory to be restored in you just like it was in Israel. And it goes on in Israel. I don't want to leave this out because I got a lot to cover in Ezekiel. But it goes on in Ezekiel to say that the Lord started to rebuild his temple. The temple that had been destroyed, everything that had been gone and wiped out. God said, you're going to rebuild it. And his glory fills it again. And he doesn't forget his people. And his glory is restored once again through them. And so all the nations will know who God is. And as we learn to not forget about God, in all of our individual areas, the same thing's going to happen. That all nations will know who God is because of what he's done in us and through us. Amen? So let's take this time. Let's take, I don't know, 5 minutes. Doctor Who, got 10 minutes after that. We'll have to run. Let's just take 5 minutes and let's just go to the Lord in remembrance, in repentance. So, Father, you are God. and you haven't changed. Your ways have not changed from the Old Testament to the New. You are still jealous for us. God, you desire us. God, even when we forget about you, even when we destroy and try to destroy the things that you've already done and built, God, even as we desecrate your temple, as the Israelites did, so Father, forgive us as we forget you. God, we cry out for your forgiveness and your mercy. God, when we forget you in our anger, in our lust, in our plans for the future, God, as we forget you in our finances, as we forget you in our schooling, God, as we forget you in our marriages, as we forget you in our relationships, just with our friends and neighbors and coworkers, God, as we forget you and we run to things that we're codependent on, God, whether it be drugs, alcohol, sex, lying, stealing, God, all these things that we as people forget, God, that we run to instead of running to you, God, forgive us. God, as I read about your compassion, as I read about your tough love that you gave the Israelites in Ezekiel, God, you were a God that knew what it would take to turn a nation around who could care less about you. And so, Father, I pray for us in this room this morning. I pray for those that aren't even here that are a part of Whitewater, God, that it wouldn't take that. God, may we never be so far removed that it takes that. God, all you ask is that we live in a way that brings life to others, that reflects glory back to you. And God, may we be that people. May we be that people in our homes. May we be that people in our jobs. May we be that people to our waitresses and waiters. God, may we be that people to customer service reps in India. You all know what I'm talking about. God, you have not forgot about us. And I'm grateful for the ways that are painful at times that you've used to bring me back to who you are, to bring me back to where you are at. God, they hurt and they're painful at times, but God, you know that I'm a bald-headed guy that needs that sometimes, and I'm grateful for that. So, Father, as a church, as a local body here who claim to love you and claim to know who you are and claim to want to live for you, Father, may that happen and continue to happen as we leave here this morning. Father, we love you and acknowledge that you are the sovereign Lord. God, and may we just give you that rightful place in our hearts this morning. Thank you for opening our graves and bringing us out of them. Thank you for giving us a new heart and a new spirit in which we can love you and love others with. God, forgive us of our injustices, and we thank you for all that you are. It's your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.